7:45 on a Saturday morning means it's time for our wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there, Denny. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing quite well. I hope you are as well. We have a little rain activity here in the Twin Cities, but that's okay. That's not going to stop us.
No, it won't last all day.
Oh, right.
So, anyhow, I got an email from somebody asking me about unoaked Chardonnay. Well, it brought to mind the fact that today wine people are using oak to intentionally impart flavors to wine. This is a relatively new thing in the world of winemaking. Winemaking is thousands of years old. Barrels came along maybe 500 years ago, 400 years ago. And the reason barrels were handy is they worked a lot better than those old-fashioned clay amphora jars. And they travel better. Barrels are practically unbreakable. And they're more robust than the amphora because they were less likely to break. And they were easier to transport than those big amphora things. But using the interior of the barrel to flavor wine is relatively new. To make a barrel, you split wood into what they call staves. And then those staves are set outside to age for anywhere from 2 to 6 years. In fact, a very interesting story about wood barrels is, you know, forever they could not get Chardonnay from California to taste like French Burgundy. As I've said in the past, all French Burgundy is Pinot Chardonnay, white Burgundy. Red Burgundy is all Pinot Noir. It's very simple. They only have two grape types in Burgundy, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, of any consequence. And the red wines are all Pinot Noir. The white wines are all Chardonnay. But they couldn't get their Chardonnay in California to taste like French Chardonnay till they started to import French barrels. And then they figured it out. It actually came from the flavors that the wine got by spending some time barrel aging in those wooden barrels that they use in Burgundy. And those barrels are, you know, they hold around 25 cases, a barrel does. And anyhow, once the wood is made into barrels, but barrel making is a real art, and they take these staves that have been aged out of doors, and I'll tell you another interesting story about aging them out of doors. And then they are cut into shape, into things that are, as I said, called staves. And then they do this over heat. It allows the bending easier. And the staves are flexible enough to bend into a barrel shape. They put the iron rings on them, and thus a barrel is born. And those barrels then are charred on the inside. And this is called toast varieties. How long is that barrel toasted? Because those toasts on the wine barrel give flavor and impart flavor to wines. And, you know, most wine barrels are all oak, either American oak or French oak. For example, any of you who have ever tasted the famous Greek wine Retsina, those are made from pine barrels, and the pine emits a resin, thus the name Retsina. And Retsina has a very distinctive flavor that comes from the resin in the wood and the barrels that Retsina is aged in. So barrel aging is very unique. Wines are first fermented in big tanks, usually stainless steel. They even have plastic. Some countries still have concrete tanks for the first fermentation. After that, they're put into barrels to age. Some of the wine, you know, a lot, probably 90% of the wine never, ever sees any wood at all. But barrel age is very, very important. And wood flavor in the wine, that oak flavor, became so important. You know, it was interesting to me 30 years ago to go to Australia and see them put these wooden staves in huge stainless steel vats. They'd lower maybe 50 wooden sticks, and they were oak sticks to impart a flavor to the wine. They weren't using barrels, but obviously a lot cheaper to do that. Since then, I've seen them put in wooden in the wine and then filter them out. I've even seen them throwing sawdust into the wine to impart that flavor of wood. But really, while it does impart a flavor of the wood, throwing in sawdust and sticking barrels in, or sticking wooden staves in for a while, what really does it is being toasted in the barrel and aged in the barrel. This is a very important thing. You know, it was really not too long ago that they discovered that oak imparts something called lactone. And that's what gives a wine, perhaps a Chardonnay you like, that wonderful vanilla flavor in the nose and also in the mouth, the lactone from the oak. And, you know, it was always interesting to me that we had to use French oak in making wines. And they, everybody insisted on it. I thought, you know, our oak trees here are every bit as good as the oak trees in France. Why can't we make American oak barrels? Well, very simple. And again, another interesting story. I was at Leonetti Winery maybe 35 years ago in Washington, D.C., and he was famous for making Merlot, and he made some of the best Merlot that came out of the state of Washington. Well, we were at his place tasting, and he took us to his honey barrel. Now, a honey barrel is a barrel where you think is the best wine that you're making that year, and you keep it in that honey barrel. So we went to the honey barrel, and I said, you know, I have never tasted Merlot in the United States this good. I mean, it's fabulous. What's the secret? He said, my barrels. I said, well, what kind of barrels do you use? American oak. I said, oh, this can't be American oak. Because American oak barrels usually imparted a sweet flavor to the wine and not that wonderful rounded flavor that you get from French oak. And this one did, and even better. And he said, well, I found that American barrel makers age their wood in kilns, not outside. So he took us out and showed us an oak tree that he had felled on his property, cut into planks. He said, this has been out here 3 years. I'm calling the barrel maker. He will come and take this oak planks that I've cut, make me a dozen or two barrels out of the tree. And it was air aging, and it had never been done in this country. And Leonetti was the first one to really discover the fact that it made a tremendous difference when you were taking barrel or wood, oak, and aging it in a kiln and air aging it. And the result was incredible. Today, American oak barrels are as popular as French oak barrels are, and there's good reason, because they produce wonderful wines. But all of a sudden, the world became aware of oak. And, you know, there's some vineyards, in fact, Murphy Good from California specializes. They have a Minnesota cuvee in their Chardonnay, and as oak trees age, and if they age in a cold climate, the bands are tighter in the wood, and the wood is more dense because it has to be because of the long winters. And I always thought Minnesota oak would make wonderful wine, and indeed, our good friend Mr. Reddy at Murphy Good proved that by making Chardonnay and aging it in Minnesota oak, and it really is a very, very unique wine. But the flavor that wine picks up from oak is this lactone, kind of a vanilla flavor. And American oaks really actually emit more of this flavor than others. The real cradle of winemaking in using barrels is Burgundy. That's how they've been fermenting wine for years. As soon as the wine is ready, they put it in barrels. And then they have what they call malolactic fermentation, which is the second fermentation in the barrel. And that barrel, the wine sitting in the barrel, it draws all this flavor, a lot of tannin. Tannin adds structure. You get tannin from the skins and the pips, and you also get a lot of tannin from the oak that the wine is aged in. And that makes a wonderful difference when you're trying these wines out, and you say, you know, too much oak on the nose. And so unoaked wines, which are kind of popular right now, in my opinion, they have a place. People don't all happen to like that oaky, wonderful flavor. But I don't think they'll ever replace oak barrels, because when the wine draws that flavor from the wood, there's just nothing like it. And everybody that makes wine throughout the world has certain wines that they just absolutely love that are barrel aged, and they proudly put that on the bottle. And you know, and even some of the requirements of, like, the French Appellation Controlli and the Italian Denominazione di Origine, etc., have requirements. If you have, say, a Chianti Reserve, it has to spend more time in barrels. And if you have a French Bordeaux, it has to spend so much time in barrels. So barrel aging is really very, very important. And as I said, when you're bringing up a wine, the élevage, it's called, nobody does it better than the Burgundian. So people have been trooping, winemakers from all over the world troop to Burgundy to see how they handle their élevage, or educating the wine that's in the barrel. And it's all done with barrels, where the wine sits on top of the droppings called the lees. We talked about that last week when we talked about Muscadet Surlis. The Muscadet has been on the lees for so long. So barrel making and barrel production and barrel aging are an essential part of winemaking. And I think if you want an un-oak Chardonnay, that's just wonderful. But don't ever forget that that oak imparts wonderful flavors to wine, and it's part of the intrigue of wine is to have that phenomenal, unique, if you will, oak aging. And that oak aging comes from using oak barrels. Now, there other barrels are used, such as chestnut wood and a few other types of wood. But really, the very, very best is oak, and we see that in a lot of oak aging. And I was asked to repeat some of those gift ideas for Dad. I started out last week with some wine blends, Petite Cabrières, the Little Goat. It's an old goat farm. It's a Rhone wine. It's under $15. It'd be great for Dad. Fog Mountain Field Blend is a great field blend from California, from our friends at Bossé. La Ville Pavillon is a Bordeaux, and you know, all Bordeaux are red blends, so those are all good flavors and good wines under $15 for Dad. Petite Cabrière, Fog Mountain Field Blend, Pavillon, La Ville, red, and then if you want a little more expensive, under $20, Provenera Pinot Noir, Pacific Heights Pinot Noir are good types. And then don't forget that, you know, we send buyers to buy special whiskeys all the time. In fact, our buyers just got back on Wednesday from a trip through Kentucky. Jefferson Reserve Old Rum Cask is a great bourbon. 1792 is another one. They're more expensive, you know, $50, $60 a bottle. But if Dad likes bourbon, give him one of those. And plus, don't forget, a gift basket of wine or beer for Dad for Father's Day would be very much appreciated. And as I always say, not such a bad idea to give him a bouquet that you can both share.
I should say, and I know exactly where you can find these great Dad's gifts.
We love to help you pick wine to go with the perfect dish. We also are pretty good at picking gifts out for old Dad. So stop in and see the folks at Haskell's. They'll help you find something. And best of all, they'll help you find something that won't break the bank. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington, Excelsior. Haskell's in Faribault, right off of 35. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be missed. Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis has free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Minnetonka, at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury has another Haskell's. And if you can't come in, go to Haskell's.com. It'll take you right to our summer sales flyer, and you'll see all the wonderful things that are on sale for you to buy for dear old Dad.
Well, let's talk again next week, but I wish you happy Father's Day tomorrow.
Denny, happy Father's Day to you, too.
Thanks very much. And we'll talk next week. Thank you, Jack.
I look forward to it.
Jack Farrell from Haskell's back with his wine chat next week.